few business and so.
Three super precious boy.
People spend up to £100 or more or less for Dalet Minim. Dalet Minim is a mitzvah which you do a few minutes each day of Sukkot. You shake the lulav, takes a few seconds. Behale, lichves, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour. Most of it is a drabana. On the first day, only is a deraisa. Only is a deraisa. Without making a vek Dalet Minim chas v'sholem, fakir, they're trying to pick up the mitzvah of Tfilin. Tfilin is a mitzvah which we do every single day, half an hour, three quarters of an hour, it's a mitzvah de'iraisa, every single minute, every second, the person wears tefillin. We make two broches each single day, each and every day. So comparative to other mitzvahs, for the value, for the price you pay for tefillin, you're getting a lot for the money, not the value for money.
You wear the same tefillin every year.
And you wear the same tefillin the whole time, yeah, you keep the same tefillin, more or less, a bit of upkeep. So it's a cheap mitzvah, in fact. It's a cheap mitzvah for what a person pays, what he gets for it. And it would be a pity not to go this step further to make sure, once one has kosher and good tefillin, just to make sure that Itaka wears them in the right place correctly, because according to the poskim, wearing tefillin in the wrong place is like not wearing them at all. Very, very sharp statement. Wearing tefillin in the wrong place, which can easily happen, it's very easy to wear them in the right place. Very easy to wear them in the right place. But it's just a question of awareness and knowing what the right place is. Ending up wearing them in the wrong place is a very sad thing, because according to the poskim, it's like not wearing them at all. The Gemara says wearing tefillin is eight mitzvahs. Eight mitzvahs, the Gemara goes the other way. The Gemara Menachos says, Om Rav Sheshes, Kol She'ene Maniach Tefillin. Someone who does not put on tefillin, Oiver V'shmoino Asei. Very simple, it says four times in the Torah, the mitzvah of tefillin, the four parashas which are in the tefillin, which we say usually every day, Shema, Shema and Bahavta is once, Bohem Shema is another time, Kaddish and Bohem, this week's parasha, then the parashas Boy, it says twice in there, and each one of them has tefillin Sheliat and tefillin Shel Rosh. So you go four times both, it's eight mitzvahs asei, one is Mekayim, when putting on tefillin. Omer Shlokish says the Gemara, Kol HaManiach Tefillin Ma'arich Yomim. Tefillin is the school of Arichas Yomim. All kind of good things the Gemara speaks about someone who wears tefillin. The Mashal explains that tefillin has in it the Emunah, Emunah Bashem, Shema Yisrael, Ve'ohavto, Kabbalah Seid Mitzvahs, which is the source of life. And by putting tefillin, which mentions the source of life, by putting that against the heart, which is the source of life, and the brain, which is the source of life, one is infusing life into life, and that's the pshat why wearing tefillin is a sgule for richas yomim. And many things the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana says, Gemara Menachos, Chaviv in Yisrael, beloved of Klal Yisrael, that Kodesh Baruch Hu surrounded them with mitzvahs, mezuzah, and tzitzis, and tefillin. And the Gemara mentions that it protects a person from averes. But as we mentioned, it's a two-way sword, because on the one hand, it's a tremendous mitzvah if one does it properly, on the other hand, Chas v'shalom, if one doesn't do it properly, then one is dealing with eight mitzvahs asei and a bracha levatole, and the Gemara's sharp statement, someone who doesn't wear tefillin, kakafte, the lo monach tefillin, a head that does not wear tefillin, is considered quite a sharp, quite a bad thing. So as we've said, a mitzvah which we do anyway, and spend so much for and so much time, it's worth discussing it a little bit. It's a mitzvah which many of us have been doing since we, well, all of us have been doing since we were bar mitzvah, but many of us have just continuing what we were used to doing from when we became bar mitzvah, which is a while ago, and continue doing it that way, and it's always worth revisiting and confirming, are we exactly doing it correctly? So let's start. I don't know if we'll get much further today than tefillin Sheliat, but okay, let's start with that. So what is the basic place, the mokim of tefillin Sheliat? So the Gemara says, first of all, it's on the left hand. First of all, on the left hand, and the Gemara darshes it from various psukim, and between the various droshes, the Gemara says that Yodcho is Yad Keo, says this week's parsha Yodcho with a hey at the end. One of the times it says Yud Dalet Chof Hey, which can be read as Yad Keho, which means the weak hand, and therefore we know it means the left hand, for someone is right-handed, otherwise it would be the other way. So it means the weak hand, the left hand. Another drosha, the Gemara says, Ukshartom, Ukhsavtom. It says Ukshartom just after Ukhsavtom, Ukshartom is just after Ukhsavtom. Just like writing, most people do with the right hand. So the Ukshartom, the tying the tefillin has to be with the right hand, which will naturally mean that the tefillin are on the left hand. Because you can't tie them on the right hand with the same hand. So since you have to tie it with the right hand, the same hand used for writing, you end up putting it on the left hand. And that's why writing is a very important thing by tefillin. Meaning some people are left-handed, but they write with the right hand or the opposite. And there's a big chance we go after writing, specifically by tefillin, more than the other actions the person does, because it's a kshat and ksavtim. But okay, let's stick to most people who put it on the left hand, that we know. Now, where on the left hand does one have to put on tefillin? And the Gemara discusses it. Maybe it means at the bottom of the palm of the hand. Maybe it means somewhere in the lower part of the hand. So the Gemara, no. Similar, the tefillin shel yad is going to be similar to tefillin shel rosh. Just like tefillin shel rosh is high up on the head, which we have to know how we know that on its own. Okay, that will come to later, but tefillin shel rosh. But just like we know from various psukim that tefillin shel rosh is high up on the head, so too tefillin shel yad has to be high up on the hand. So that much we know, left hand, not the palm, not the lower part, it's somewhere on the upper part of the arm. Begoiva shel yad, somewhere in the higher part of the arm. And then the Gemara tells us a few lines earlier than that, this is various bits and pieces from the Gemara put together. The Gemara says earlier than that, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanon, where do you put on tefillin, says the Gemara? The Gemara mentions one word. Tana de Ben Menashe. Menashe told us a braisa, Al Yotcha. Do you know what Al Yotcha means? Zu Kiboires. This is an area on the hand called Kiboires. The Gemara doesn't add anything more to that. Rashi doesn't say anything. Tosfos and the Rishonim come along and say that the word Kiboires, we find elsewhere in Shas, means a gathering, a pile. The Rishonim quoted Gemara where it talks about a pile of dates, a Kiboires of dates, figs. So Kiboires is a pile. And this refers specifically to a pile of flesh, the Rishonim say. A gathering of basal, which in our language is called a muscle. As we know, on the arm, on the upper arm, there is a muscle which, if one bends the hand and puts the fingers together, into the fist together like this, especially if you use a bit of strength, then there's a muscle on the upper arm which swells up. And the Beis Yosef calls that bosor tofuach, swollen flesh, which we would call a muscle. Say the Rishonim, this is the literal translation of kiboires. Kiboires means a gathering, which here means a gathering, a pile, a heap of this flesh, this muscle. So that is the correct place for tefillin. Meanwhile, we'll carry on soon. That is on this muscle. Anyone can do it and try out and, you know, pick up the sleeve. Actually, we'll do that soon. And bend the arm, put the fingers together into a fist, and then you see it swells up there very easily. Some people more, some people less, but everyone, it does swell up. How did Rishonim know, or how does the Gemara know it means specifically the kiboires? We know the left hand, we know the upper part of the arm. How do you know it means specifically the swollen part? So Rashi later on tells us two things, two points. Number one, says Rashi there, it says in the Pasuk, V'samtem esdvoi eile al levavchem. So the Pasuk is mentioning the heart. You should put the words of Shema, which is Kabbalah El Machos Shema, Kabbalah El Mitzvah, onto the heart. And straight away the Pasuk goes over to Tefillin. And Chazal make a comparison between the heart and the Tefillin. The Pasuk mentions Ukshartam right after the heart. Therefore, say Chazal, the Tefillin have to be opposite the heart, in line with the heart. And there, says Rashi, there the Chazal took. From there, Chazal took that the tefillin have to be on the kiboires, because the kiboires is opposite the heart, is in line with the heart, and is an important point of tefillin, this being in line with the heart. Another mekor, say the Rishonim, this one up. This one's quite similar to the first one, but there are some differences. We're going to want to use both. Here you got the heart. Here you can see easier the swollen part on the arm. This is called the kiboires. You can see them so far. This is just a diagram. It's there, it does swell up, which is opposite the heart. The swollen, the muscle is opposite the heart of a person, and that's where Chazal get it from, that the tefillin are on that area. Another mekor, says Rashi, is it says, V'hayo l'cho, l'ois al yodcho. Again, this week's parasha, the end of parasha's boy. In Shema, it doesn't say it that way. In this week's parasha, it says, V'hayo l'cho, l'ois, and Chazal make a big fuss of this l'cho. The tefillin shel yad should be to you as a sign of connection between the Yid and Hashem. What does it mean to me? What's the specific, this specifying lecho? Say chazal lecho velo lacherim leoyz. Tefillin sheyad should be private, which means on an area which is private. That's how Chazal explained it. It doesn't have to be covered. When it gets to cover the tefillin sheyad, but the main point of the lecho, says the Gemara, is there should be on an area which is usually covered. The tefillin shel roshan is on an area which is usually uncovered. That's how it's meant to be. Tefillin shel yad is v'hoyo lecho. Le'ois al yodcha should be on a private area. This area is not private, it's often uncovered. But the upper arm is usually covered, doesn't mean it's not allowed to be uncovered, but it's usually covered, and therefore understand Chazal, that is the area for Tefillin Shel Yad.
Well, it's too high, it's a bit higher
then. Sorry?
In the picture, it's not...
It's not the correct place?
After the Moyad, no.
It's too high. Okay, we'll come to that in a minute. Okay, yeah, we'll come to that. So, we know now the Mekor and the place for tefillin, left hand, upper arm, on the muscle. That is, the Kula Alma, there's no machlokes about that. There are Rishonim who brings someone who wanted to say it's actually somewhere else, but no one agrees to that lehalocha, it's definitely on the muscle. Now, before we carry on working out the exact space for tefillin, let's first concentrate on this, because this is the main halacha. So we know it has to be on the muscle. All the Rishonim agree, that to put the tefillin lower than the muscle is the wrong place. To put it where the muscle has not yet started curving upwards, where it's still low, which is close to the elbow, that is definitely the wrong place for tefillin. And even though the Shulchan Aruch in some places writes that you put the tefillin on the lower part of the upper arm, the Mefarshim explained he doesn't mean the entire lower part, he means the muscle part of the lower arm. Oh, it will come that soon, yeah. Okay, the whole kibbutz is considered keneged alev, even though it's more the higher part. Okay, we'll come to that soon, maybe. So that's the kula alma, it has to be on the muscle. The Ben Ishchai brings that he heard from Bakiv Ege. Sensing Shidduch, that's one. Ben Ishchai, in Parshas Chayei Sora, in the first year, brings that he heard B'Shem Rabbi Kiva Ege. Bit of a distance between the two, but okay. That there is a Medrish Plia, a Medrish which seems to be a bit odd, who says, Ein manichin tefillin elo b'Shabbos. You don't put on tefillin only on Shabbos, which seems to be the opposite of reality, where you put on tefillin only not on Shabbos. So the Ben Ishchai writes, he heard in the name of Rabbi Kiva Eger, that b'Shabbos is Rosh HaTevis, b'mokoim tzar, b'mokoim tefuach. Yeah? B'mokim sar b'Shabbos beis shin beis tov. B'mokim sar means by the head. It has to be b'mokim sar. We'll come to that. But finish Rosh. And b'mokim tefuach means on the swollen part. That's the lashon of Beis Yosef. Bosor tefuach. Tefuach means swollen. On the swollen part. That's what b'Shabbos means. But that's zicher that the tefillin shel yad have to be on the swollen part. How do you check that? How do you make sure that the tefillin are b'mokim tefuach? Before, how do you check that? Let's do one more point. The Mishabur quotes from the Taz very, very sharply, very strictly, and all the other poskim between the Taz and Mishabur bring this, that it's not enough for part of the tefillin to be on the muscle. It's not even enough for most of the tefillin to be on the muscle. In fact, the entire full tefillin, until the last drop, has to be fully on the muscle.
Including the Mavata?
Including the Mavata, says the Mishabur B'Shem the Taz. The entire thing has to be on the...
How does that work with Chetzi?
Sorry? How does
that work with
Chetzi? Oh, that's going to be the problem. Okay, we'll come to that. Yeah, okay, good. We'll come to that. We're going to come to that. That's why I don't want to go into Chetzi yet before finishing this. Mishmur brings this. And the Mishmur writes that the Taz, he quotes the Taz who already says that many people unfortunately are nichshel in this and don't realize that point. And between the Taz and Mishmur and today, many of the big posts can bring this. It seems that things haven't changed much between the Taz, which was about 400 years ago, until today, because all the poskim, and the Mishabur, and later and earlier, and the Ben Ishchai, they're all right, you have to be careful, and it's so easy to not realize that the entire tefillin has to be on the Vosot Tofuach. It's not enough if part of it is, or even most of it, the whole thing has to be on it. How do you check that? So a number of poskim bring a very simple eitzer. Well, you can check it yourself. It's not hard. Well, actually, don't mind doing it myself. It's not hard to do it. By putting on tefillin or before putting on tefillin, very, very easy to see where the arm swells, where the upper arm swells.
Two fingers.
Two tefillin, two fingers. Many persons bring this two fingers idea. Two fingers, so it's folding the arm, putting two fingers. Got a problem with touching Makkah Mechusa, leave the Machlekes, okay, come to that. And that's where it starts. Like most people, it's correct. It's perfect. Two fingers, bending the arm, putting it into the corner, not squashing too much normally. Two fingers is safely onto the muscle. It's not 100% definite because there are people, and I've seen it myself, who need three fingers. Especially younger, kids. Bar mitzvah boys need three fingers, right. I've only seen it, but bar mitzvah boys need three. Yeah, that's more common. Okay, makes sense. So the truth is, one has to check beforehand. Takes a second, check out, pick up the sleeve, make them close the, fold the arm, close the fingers, and check out. Do I need two fingers? Do I need three? And then I know for once and for always. Well, not for always, because you might change in a few years' time. But okay, but most adults is two fingers, and then you save onto the muscle. Now, once the tefillin are on, if one wants to recheck, two fingers, and there has to be that gap till the tefillin has to. Yeah, the tefillin has to be after the two fingers. So folding the arm, two fingers, that's where the muscles start, that's where the tefillin have to end. Tefillin have to then go, otherwise be pushed up a bit. Now, this is the Ikke Hadin. There is a Shittes Hasmak, which the Beis Yosef brings. The Beis Yosef brings, B'Shem Hagos Hasmak actually, with Rabbeinu Peretz. But okay, we call it the Smak. Who adds a big chiddush. He says, and he's one of the only Rishonim to say that, he says that not the entire muscle is okay for tefillin. It's actually only half of the zroya. His lashon is, ki im chatzi hazroya, half the arm, ki the isa b'shemush rabbe, he brings from one of the Rishonim called the Shemush rabbe, plag zroya, half the arm. The Beis Yosef quotes that, and the Shechnoch paskens it, and the Ramo paskens it, Shechnoch and Siv Zayin, and the Ramo and Siv Aleph. Shechnoch and Siv Aleph doesn't bring it, but in Siv Zayin he does bring it, so it's clear he also holds of it. Both the Shechnoch and Mechaber hold of this Chiddush, it has to be, it can only be half the arm. The Vilna Gaon.
What is the measurement of the arm?
The Vilna Gaon comes along, and he says, I don't understand where the smack got this from. All the Gemara says, as we quoted before, is, Tana Rabbanan al Yotcha zu kiboris. The Yotcha of the Torah, Kshat Moes al Yotcha, is the kiboris. And the kiboris, Rishonim tell us, means a gathering of flesh, which means a muscle, which means a whole muscle. Why are you coming along and saying it's only halfway? Why are you saying that? Where do you see that? Where do you get it? Why? As they free the Gaon, and the Gaon take argues. The Gaon says, no, you can put it on the entire muscle. Again, only the muscle. On the entire muscle. And even the Ozerua says half, says the Gaon, I think he meant something else. You know what he meant? He meant half of the upper arm. The muscle is only about roughly half the upper arm. It's not quite an exact half. It's somewhere in the middle. But half doesn't mean exactly half. It's part. Even the Ozerua, the smack didn't mean half of the muscle. He meant half the arm, which is the full muscle. Over. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramo don't say that. So at the end of the day, as much as there's a Gaon, and we're going to rely on it when we're stuck, as we'll see soon, but the Chatchila de Kehalocha, of course, is like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Ramo, like all the other persons who bring this smack, and say that no, it's only half the arm. And if Halacha answers, the Gaon's Kasher, he says, why should it be only half the arm? The Gemara says, Kiboris, where are you coming from? They're saying half the arm. And he says, you know what? The smack held that kiboris means that part of the arm. The kiboris doesn't mean the full muscle. The main part of the muscle, the lower part of the muscle, closer to the elbow, only that part is called kiboris. I don't know Lashon HaKodesh well enough to know what the exact translation of kiboris is. We know, till now, and most of the Shonim say that, kiboris means the full muscle. Says the Bialechem, the smack held, no, kiboris means, your translation of kiboris is, the lower part of the muscle. Each part of the muscle has got a different name, and kiboris means the lower part of the muscle. Therefore, the smack holds, only the lower part of the muscle is kosher. Now, when we come to practical measurements, first I thought that the smack is actually taking away very much. First, I made myself this chart. And I thought that, you know, according to most Rishonim, you have the full basar tepuach, the full muscle. Until the smack came along and the Mechaber Ramo bring it, he says, no, only half. Cut the muscle into half and cut it. Measure it into halves, and you only go half, which leaves us very little, and like you said, in fact, our tefillin are bigger than half of the masl, to begin with. Our tefillin are bigger than half of the masl to begin with. Oh, but the truth is, I've thought about this a lot, and I've checked it up, and I've asked around, and I think it's clear that this is wrong. This is wrong. This is the right one. See what I mean? When the smack comes along with chiddush and he says half, he does not mean, nor does he say half the muscle. He says half the arm. He says half of the zroya. His lashon always is chatzi zroya, plug zroya. Why would that make a difference? The difference is like this. The muscle is not exactly in the middle of the arm. And I think that's what we meant before. The muscle is not in the middle of the arm. It's actually closer to the elbow. Oh, you can see it. No, to see. The muscle is much closer to the elbow. Here, there's only two fingers gap. Here, it comes down here already, whereas till the arm is still quite a bit. So it's actually lower down. And the smack is not telling us half the muscle. The smack is telling us half the arm, which will end up being two-thirds, if not three-quarters of the muscle. So this picture is actually more accurate. Because here you got like this. How do you measure the arm? So if someone comes along and helps us a bit out, how do you measure the arm, where from, where to? And he says you measure from in the fold till under the arm. You measure that area. I measured myself, about 20 centimeters by me. I'm not one of the tallest people, but okay. This is an example.
If you're maniac, if you leave, sit down.
Yeah, it's harder.
It's not harder, it's there. You put the finger in your heart, you know, just the place you do it. Feel it in your heart.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come to that, how to do it in the mouth. Okay, let's do the measurement. Yeah, we'll come to the heart in a minute. So you take from in the fold of the arm until under the armpit, and you measure that, if you want to do it, it's about 20-something centimeters. Says the smack, half of that is kosher for tefillin. Which half? Says the smack. Clearly, shechnoch mirmoch, the lower half, between the half and the elbow. Now, comes along the moment Abraham and says, don't think the smack is adding and saying the entire lower half is kosher. No, only the muscle in that half. We're back to the muscle. That's clear. Again, even though the shechnoch and sif aleph doesn't mention it, and that's why it's a bit of a discussion. The opposite will say, maybe not. Maybe the smack is actually adding us some area by saying the whole bottom half. It says, no, the Mognavom, Mishabud, say clearly no. The Mechaben, Sivza, and other places brings it. It means the muscle in the lower half. But the muscle area of the lower half is actually three quarters of the muscle. Because we're not looking at half the muscle like here, this is wrong. We're looking at half the arm. So you go from here, Beis HaShechi, until here, this is the whole Zeroya. Half of that is half the Zeroya, this is the Chatzi Zeroya, the lower part. Now you have to stick to the muscle. Okay, you got quite a bit of muscle there, after taking away two fingers from the arm. Upwards, you're quite a bit of muscle over there. The measurements I did on myself were roughly 20 centimeters, 20-something, 20, let's say 22, the whole thing, which leaves us with 11 centimeters, half the arm. Two fingers is only 3 centimeters. Yeah? So 11 is half, minus 2 fingers, which is 3 centimeters, you're left with 8 centimeters. Now, our tefillin of 6.5 centimeters doesn't leave you much space. Quite exactly, we'll come to that in a minute, which we'll discuss is that. But it does leave you with, okay, a bit.
So
yeah?
The whole
tefillin
accommodated on the
The whole tefillin, the entire tefillin, till the last drop has to be fully on the muscle. Now, let's get to the most practical point maybe. What do you do if it's hard to do that? And it is often hard, especially by bar mitzvah boys. Let's leave that for the moment, come to that soon. But even an adult is left with quite a knapper space, 8 centimeters for tefillin, which are 6.5. Some people have bigger tefillin. It's a bit of a tough one. It's a bit of a hard one. So the Mishmur discusses this already. The Mishmur discusses tefillin, gedolim, big tefillin. And he says it's like a bit of a, it can be a bit of a problem, big tefillin. He advises to take smaller tefillin. Let's leave that for now. Let's come back to that soon, to the smaller tefillin. But the Mishmur says very, very clearly, more than once, I think 2, 3, 4 times. He's so worried about it, he keeps on mentioning it. He says like this, if you have big tefillin, and you knap on the area, or you're bigger than the area, or you're not sure, rather go upwards than downwards. Much rather, push the tefillin upwards than downwards. Why? Because by pushing them downwards, there's no single shitter who holds that it's kosher. No one holds that. No one is hard to say. Kimat, no one. No one accepted. Some want to discuss it, maybe, but no one finally comes out and says, this area is kosher for tefillin. No, everyone agrees it has to be on the muscle, and it's clear in the Loshna Mishavur, and then the Mishavur Zichet, but it's clear in the Loshna Ramon, the Basar Tafuach. They keep on mentioning the muscle. It has to be on the muscle. The Ramon said, the Mechavah, Shuchnov Sifalev, Mok Manoch Shijad, Vezreya Smoy, the Basar HaTafuach, on the swollen part. Yeah, and all keep on mentioning this, the basra tefuach, the swollen, what we call the muscle. So, if you're not sure and doubt, or the tefillin are big, rather push them upwards, because even though you'll end up having part of the tefillin above the half, above the chatz yizroya, says the vialech ha nishkefelech, most rishonim are making. We said before, the smak is the one, the gon, and most rishonim are making that the full muscle is fine. It's only the smack who came along with his big chiddush that you need half the muscle, and everyone asks him where did he get it from. Bialecha says because he holds kibbutz means half the arm, but that's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. Okay, shuchnoch amol. You can't make that. You can't shavekmach. You can't, you know, push that away easily. Of course not. But it's good to know. Says Bialecha that most shitters hold the full muscle is okay, but under the muscle, no one holds that's okay, or kmat no one holds that's okay. So much rather push it a bit upwards than downwards. Therefore, coming back to the practical part of it is, when one puts on tefillin, you don't have to check this each day, even though you could, but often checking it once or twice is enough to, you know, for life to get used to the correct spot. But putting two fingers like this keeps you safe that the bottom part of the tefillin is above the muscle, and now you don't have to worry more, because first of all, there's not much you can do. Even if the top part of the tefillin now is above the half, there's not much you can do, because that is the best option of the two.
The top half is the
mavata,
not the main
bias. It's a bit easier, correct? It is the mavata. And much rather be yotz, at least according to most shittes, than having part of the tefillin down below the muscle, even a part, which according to Mishavur, one is bechlal not yotz, very, very sharp is loshen. He says, even if only a little bit of the tefillin come down below the muscle, one is not yotz of the mitzvah. Very sharp the way he says it. Ruli Kuvetz Ma'akev. Later, the Shel Rosh will have the same thing. It says, if even part of the tefillin is not in the right place, there's no good. Rabbim Nicholim Be'Isser Zeh. This comes from the Taz, but from the Taz 400 years ago until today, we know it's a common problem. Rabbim Nicholim Be'Toyin Loimar. And many people think that it's enough if the top part of the tefillin is in the right space. If most of the tefillin is in the right space. He says, no. Afilu Ktzei HaTachton Shel HaTiture. You need even the last bit of the Titure, which is the base, not just the Ktzitzu, which is the box above. Even the Titure, which is the base, which goes around, even that has to be on the right space. Now, coming back to big tefillin, the Mishavur Takis says that because of these problems, you want to get the space right, maybe it's advisable not to buy big tefillin. Now, I don't know how big the tefillin he mentions are. But he does say it's a problem with big tefillin. He says, the truth is, you can't tell me that it's a well, depends how big. The Gemara says that it's placed on the arm for two tefillin. Yeah, when we talk about the Shel Rosh, we'll come back to that there. There's Mokim Berosh for two tefillin, but not everyone realizes the Gemara says about tefillin Shel Yad also. So there's definitely place here for two tefillin, says Mishmur, yeah, but how big? Maybe they went with the smaller size, which is quite small, the minimum size. Some people have that, the very small size, but our tefillin are quite big, so it is like a problematic. Well, it can be problematic. There are people who very much push to get smaller tefillin, at least tefillin Shel Yad. Our people here in town, even people who dealt with Batim, and they were very much for at least tefillin Shel Yad should be smaller. The Shel Yad and Shel Rosh don't have to be the same size. The one point about size in tefillin is that they have to be exactly square. That's halacha l'mishum Sinai, that the width and the length has to be square. But the height can be different, and the Shel Yad and Shel Rosh can be different. So there are people who have made tefillin, created tefillin, well, first of all, the Shel Yad is smaller than Shel Rosh, because Shel Rosh is not so problematic. Again, you can get it wrong easily, but it's easy to solve. Shel Yad is harder because you only got the chatzilah this area, which is not much. Especially by Bar Mitzvah boys. Bar Mitzvah boys with much smaller arms, they can get over the whole muscle easily if they got big tefillin. So there are people who push for smaller tefillin. The concern of smaller tefillin, the reason why we have bigger tefillin, is the parashas. the parishes, the smaller the tefillin are, the smaller the parishes will have to be, which obviously makes it harder to make sure it's kosher and to make, and the parishes then have to be thinner, because they've got a smaller area to be rolled into. The thinner the parishes are, the easier they can tear on the way in, on the way out. And if they tear on the way in, no one will ever notice that, because you push them in and they get squashed in. And if it's thick cloth, parchment, okay, it's safe. But if it's thin cloth, can tear easily. And that's why we've come to the stage where our tefillin are rather big. Not very big, there are people who are much bigger, but rather on the bigger side. So again, those people want to push us to go back to small tefillin. And many of those tell us that even though we say the minhag today is to have big tefillin, they say in history the minhag was small tefillin. And they prove it, have a lot of proofs that in the past Gedolim wore smaller tefillin. The Sefer called his Oirus Tshuva from Reb Shimon Sofer, the son of the Ksav Sofer. Used to put two, I pick up a different two, his father, son, put two. Okay, then I've seen small ones. So Reb Shimon Sofer brings that his father, the Ksav Sofer, Yarshin the tefillin of Reb Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of Chasm Sofer, and he saw them, Reb Shimon Sofer, they were tiny, very small, small. And others, so the others who push us to get smaller twin, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Nusach, they bring that when he came from Litte, his twin were very small, but when they needed repairing, couldn't find anyone to repair them, so he had to go to the twin we have today. On the other hand, so Rav Shlomo Zalman, we're not coming to change the minig. The minig is as it is, we wear the twin we have, we don't want to change the minig, Rav Ozan says. So this is up for debate, whether to change it or not. It's not. I'm not the one to come with this, just to put down the two sides. On the one hand, the others who tell us to push us, put on smaller tefillin, be much safer. On the other hand, the minhag is not so, and Rosh Hashanah says, you can't come and tell me all the Yidden are not doing it correctly. So, be it as it may, we have the tefillin we have, and what we can do is to make sure that at least it goes in the right space. Especially bar mitzvah boys, they have small arms and their muscle is not yet very developed, so they often need three fingers. I've seen a lot of bar mitzvah boys, a lot of them need two, but a lot of them need three fingers, so that has to be checked beforehand. And then the twin has to be above that. If the twin goes above the half, there's not much you can do. But what can you do about it? It's much better to go up the half than lower than the muscle. But at least it should be on the muscle. If the twin is out of the muscle, that's a problem. That's a big problem. Because no one holds it can go above the full muscle. But an adult, it's not going to happen. The child has to make sure, tucker, not to go too high. You know, you want to be safe, so you push it up. Yeah, but you might be too high. So for a child, bar mitzvah, you have to be much more careful. An adult, if he puts two, three fingers there, he'll still be safely on the muscle, on the basar tofuach. So that's fine. But this is very important, to know that the entire tefillin, including the last bit of the base of the titura, has to be on the correct place. Now, there's one more point in the mokim tefillin, a new point, going away from this, and that is, says the Gemara, that the Wa'am Eroim, who teach us, and the Gemara says they did that when they put on tefillin, they bent it a little bit towards the heart. Keneged alev, and this comes back in the pasuk we mentioned before. Sometimes dvar eile, says the pasuk. Sometimes dvar eile, put these words of Shema al levavchem onto the heart. These are words which are not just meant to be said; they're meant to be thought about on the heart. And straight after the pasuk says ukshartam la'olis al yadecho, so the kshira has to be keneged the heart. And therefore, says the Gemara, that when you put on tefillin, you should bend the tefillin a little bit, so that when you put the arm down, the tefillin will be facing the heart. Now, one shouldn't bend too much. It's not meant to be that the tefillin end up under the arm. It shouldn't be that the tefillin end up between the arm and the body, because then the tefillin are not on the kibores. And this is much more important. What we talk now is a chumre, a hidur, a maile, a good thing. This is an ikadim, this is an ikuva, this is a person. So the tefillin have to be on the muscle. They can't be on the side of the muscle. So don't bend them too much. And if the tefillin end up between the arm and the side, that's no good. They have to be leaning on the upper, what do we call it, on the torso, on the body. They have to be leaning on towards the body, but not under, not between the arm and the body. In fact, the Rambam doesn't say anything. The Rambam says, put on tefillin onto the muscle. And then when you put your arm down, the tefillin will end up facing the heart. Yeah? Now, but the Gemara says Nishra, and the Shechnor says Nishra. The Shechnor says bend it a bit. Why is the Rambam easily understood? Because the truth is, it's a bit of a kasha I had. If you put on tefillin normally, on the muscle, what normally is, on the muscle, when you end up bending your heart, they automatically face, when you end up putting the arm down, they automatically face the heart. What's this bending? Why do you have to be neuter? And the Rambam doesn't mention it. The Rambam says, put the tefillin on the muscle, and when you put your heart, your arm down, they will automatically be facing the heart. Shulchan Aruch says that you should bend them a little bit, but Yitaka says a little bit, because naturally the tefillin will automatically be facing the heart. So you bend them a little bit more towards the heart.
Depends whether you...
The truth is, it depends a bit how you're putting on tefillin, because even though when a person puts on tefillin, let's say he has his hand like this, and he puts on here, and then we would say, when you then fold your hand, you turn your hand and put it down, automatically the tefillin are facing the heart, it's not quite so, because you can turn this 180 degrees, but this doesn't turn 180 degrees, this is back to the arm. So even though you're putting this like this upwards, this is not facing upwards. Well, it is, but it won't turn fully when you put the arm down, because this is stuck to the arm. Yes, it doesn't. And that's what Mistama, why the Gemara says, bend it a little bit towards here, so that when you put the arm down, it is now facing exactly towards the heart. But again, one shouldn't overdo it, because this is much more important. To be on the muscle, that's the main thing, to be on the muscle, the lower part of the muscle as much as possible, but not below it, because this is Ma'akev of Dina, Mitzad Dina
Dina. What I was saying before was the muscle when you're on
my headache. So now there's two things to be careful of. Number one, when one puts the sleeve, okay, let's go to this first. A bit depends if you're putting on Ashkenaz or Sfard. If you're putting on Sfard, which means you're pulling the Ritzua this way, then Tzak is more important to make this bend, because you will automatically be pulling it upwards. If you're putting on Ashkenaz, where you're pulling it this way, then you have to be careful, Faket, you shouldn't end up pulling it too much down, that it ends up between the arm and the body, because that's not on the kiboris anymore, it's next to the kiboris, that's no good. Number two, one has to be careful when pulling the sleeve down. If and when a person pulls the sleeve down, he shouldn't pull his tefillin down, because the person could end up putting the tefillin in the right place and making all the fingers, making sure it's on the muscle and everything, but when he pulls his sleeve down, he's pulling it down, which would be a big pity. He will have done tefillin for a second, like you said before, for a few minutes, so he has put in the tefillin, but why not? He's doing it, may as well do it correctly for the full hour. So that one has to check. The truth is, you can check it after putting the sleeve down. You can still do it like this, which might even be better, because touching the upper arm runs us into a shell of washing the hands. This is normally a covered area, so do you have to wash your hands if you touch here? One of these major machlokes, and many persons say yes, it's a covered area, you have to wash your hands, at least rub the hands down. Some persons say no, this is not a covered area, because you have to uncover it for tefillin. You have to uncover it. That time. So the machlokes, some say you don't have to wash your hands, Hashem Zalman is meikil, others are machmir, but you can actually check after the sleeve is down, very easy, like this. Is the tefillin the right place, or do they need pushing up? Now, pushing up, we'll finish one more minute. Pushing up after you've tightened the tefillin is also not so simple. And this takes us to a very important point in Hechis Tefillin, which we don't always realize, that tying the tefillin, the fact that the tefillin have to be tight, is a very, very integral part of tefillin. How do we do the mitzvah of Ukshartom? You have to tie. So there is a shit in Tosfos who holds you have to make the knot every day. Rabbeinu Elior, Tosfos Chul, and other places, wings, you have to make the knot at the back of the head every single day. We don't hold like that. We hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that we are mekayim the kshira, else how we mekayim the kshira, with tightening it. So tighten, you have to tighten it till the arm goes blue. But it shouldn't be too loose either. If the tefillin are slipping around on the head or on the arm, that's not kshira, that's a problem. The tefillin have to be tight. Our bracha goes on the tightening. We put on the tefillin, then we make the bracha, but we make the bracha usually before mitzvah. Yeah, because we're going to tighten it afterwards. The tightening is the kiyum of ukshartom. So to wiggle around the tefillin a bit, obviously, is okay, but it shouldn't be too loose. So we have to be careful on all sides. The tefillin have to be tight, ukshartom. They have to be in the right space. They shouldn't move afterwards. And the main thing is here to be careful, make sure it's on the muscle. That's the next time we'll do the shalosh and the kesh.